Welcome in, Ute fans, to a morning edition of the KSL Sports Front Page and the Crimson Corner podcast. I'm your host and Utes insider, Trevor Allen, and we are doing the rounds with the new Utah basketball coaching staff, and we are wrapping it up after we've already talked to Craig Smith, Eric Peterson, and DeMarlo Slocum. Now, the newest addition to Craig Smith's staff, we go to Tim Morris. Tim, good morning.
Morning.
Walk us through the process of how you got to Utah from Cincinnati.
Well, you know, we had a little bit of a rough ending to our situation there. But I was named interim head coach and was going through the process of, you know, helping with the transition there and was interviewed for the head spot there. And but also during that time, Craig and I had some mutual friends and we got to know each other a little bit, and we saw eye to eye on a whole lot of stuff, and it just, there was just chemistry and how he saw the game, how he saw running the program, some of my connections and ties out here, Midwest, down South. And we just decided to take the plunge. So had a few conversations and I had a few other options I was choosing in between, but it just, the combination of Craig, his history, how he does things, the Utah program, the city, university is just, it was too good to pass up. So decided to come back out west and be a running Ute.
How's the last, you know, week and a half or 2 weeks been for you since you've arrived on campus and on this coaching staff?
Oh, it's been seamless. Honestly, it's just been the staff that Craig's put together has been awesome. Like like I said, with Craig, as much as we saw it eye to eye, the rest of the staff, like I've been on some staffs where there's a little bit of territorial, people a little bit territorial or don't have the right chemistry with how we work together. But this group, we're a team, you know, so your best teams on the floor are teams that complement each other. And the group we have up here has been really complimentary of each other. There's, I mean, DeMarlo, he's been here forever, so he knows the lay of the land. He's been welcoming. Eric's been awesome. You know, he knows Craig so well. And just being able to come in and hit the ground running, you know, get to know what we need, get to know the staff, get to really get out on the recruiting trail, trying to complete this roster. And only piece I'm missing is getting here, getting on the floor with the guys. And that's one of the things I love to do. So we'll start that back up in June. I got here right on the last day of workouts, so I didn't get a chance to really get to work with the guys, but really looking forward to that part too.
Digs are also pretty nice too, right?
Oh, ridiculous. I've seen a list that ranks as number 5. I want to see the other 4, you know, so Digs are great.
I want to talk about a player who's already transferred into the program that you actually coached over the last year, and that is Gabe Madsen. While he didn't play many games at Cincy, you have had a chance to work with him and coach him. Just talk about what he brings to Utah and who he is on and off the floor.
Oh, I love Gabe. Gabe's my guy. We got to know each other a little bit, obviously, from working with him for a year. And at Cincinnati, my responsibilities was all of the perimeter player skill development. So on the court, I got to spend a lot of time with him working out. Like, we do practice, and then we have 3-4 times a week where we do some one-on-one stuff. So got to spend a lot of time with him. He can really shoot the ball, but that's not all he is on the court. You know, he's got some, I mean, even in high school, I saw him go for 40, you know, where he's reckless has a negative connotation, but not for him. When he's playing free-flowing basketball, I mean, he can score in all different types of ways, deep range, getting in the paint, finishing, playing off the dribble. He'll be a lot of fun. You see that hair flowing, and then he's really getting it going. And from a personal standpoint, you don't meet a higher character dude. Like, Gabe's just salt of the earth, really, really cares about people, great teammate, good person. We got a good one in Gabe.
I know that there's a lot going on and you're, you know, trying to acclimate to being on the staff. You mentioned that you worked with the perimeter players when you were at Cincinnati. Is right. That going to be the case here?
Yeah, I'll do some between DeMarlo and I think we'll split the development of the guards. I played the position. I was a combo guard when I played. And ever since I've been a coach, that's been kind of my focus area. I like to stay in great shape, so I call myself a sparring partner. So a lot of guys work with cones. I like to get out there and have a physical presence with them, you know, feel it, do it. One of the things I believe in is you stay connected. As we get older as coaches, you can lose your separation. The players stay the same age, we get older, but yeah. you gotta keep that feeling of what it's like to be in the fire, you know? So when you can still do the moves, when you can still see the game and feel the game and sweat and do those things, I think they relate to you better. You can get into their world some, they feel you, they listen more, and it's almost like some of the older guys on in the NBA on teams, they're not officially coaches, but they're acting like coaches. So I like to try to model some of my coaching like that. Obviously, I'll still have the respect of the guys and the accountability and all those things. But I think the more you can get into it with them, and the more you can maximize their abilities a little bit better.
So since you are going to be working with the guard play, I want to ask you about some of the guys that are on this roster now. I know a lot of them are new, with Raleigh, Marco, David Jenkins, but you've also got guys like Rylan Jones, who are still within the program from last year, and Jackson Brenchley and all that. I know you haven't had a chance to work with them on the floor yet, but I'm sure you've watched film and talked to the coaches about it. Just talk about some of the guards that are in this program right now.
No, I'm excited about all of them. You know, like just seeing there's so much talent in the program already. You know, just being able to get in there and just work with them on sharpening everything up. I think player development is a big part of what Coach Smith wants to do with our program. Like, it's not just team stuff that we're going to do. And on a day-to-day basis, we're going to build in 20 to 30 minutes of skill development there. So I think the combination of just seeing the new system we're going to play in, I think we build our player development off of where you're going to get your opportunities in the game. So we want to rep. Yes, you're going to do your fundamentals like passing, shooting, dribbling, all those things on a day-to-day basis where it's second nature. But the other piece we want to do is really, really train the situations they'll see in the games. So when it comes to the games, it's just second nature. All the fancy fun stuff that comes is just a reaction. You don't have to think about a lot of those things that come after that. So working with those guys, I've watched them. We have some guys who can really shoot, really think, really make quick decisions, and that makes a dynamic offense where you have multiple guys on the floor who can do all that.
Coming in on Twitter, there's a question. What are the top three things you are looking for when you are evaluating a prospect?
Number one thing, and this is a little bit subjective, but that's part of what it is, but is he a ball player? Like, you have some guys who have elite talent. Like, you have a guy who has an elite speed, elite size, or just elite physicality, like a big-time athlete. But for me, I use this saying, it comes from the military, is does he have a tight OODA loop? And that's observe, orient, decide, act. And it's basically like you think about your quarterback. How in football, how quickly can he make his reads? So quick processing. Is he a quick processor? When you have multiple quick processors on a team, like five guys who can really do that, that's one of the reasons I love BC so much. I mean, big fella who can shoot it and pass it and think. So when you have multiple guys who can shoot and pass and think, that's a huge deal. Second piece is ability to shoot. Third thing is just, is he a competitor? You know, does he love it? Do you see some fire in him? Is he a go-getter? Like, when you got guys who got a little nastiness to them, and along with skill and then the ability to think, oof, then you got a guy there. You got a dude there.
How much does that player's personality off the floor, the way that they interact with their teammates and, feedback from coaches and all that stuff, how much does that factor into it?
Oh, it's absolutely important. I mean, you do have been a part and kind of been trained to be really thorough. So you talk to everybody. A lot of NBA guys, you end up, when they're doing their pre-draft work, they're talking to everybody who've the players have interacted with. So I kind of model my approach to that too. I'm going to call, want to talk to family, friends, girlfriends, people you work with, teammates. And also you can see some of it, but you can't, especially in some of this, the way the process is going now, COVID era, and even transfer with the portal, you don't have as much time. You don't have as much time to really dive in. So you really, really have to ask a lot of questions, talk to a lot of people. Some of these recruitments have been a little bit quicker. So yeah, you want to get as much information as you can. And then at the end of the day, you got to go on your gut and how the person makes you feel. I think as a player, players follow coaches not because of what they've done, but it's what they've done, but it's more because of how they made you feel. And I think some of that stuff, along with obviously you got to get the background and the detailed information about who they are as people, all those things matter too.
Mike comes in on Facebook saying, "Welcome, coach." And he's asking what you guys as a staff are looking for as far as filling your guys' final roster spots. You guys have a couple of scholarships available, especially because of the portal with how crazy it is this year. And I'll ask you about that here in a minute. But are you guys looking to fill those with some of the high school recruits going into the portal? I know that there's some of the reports out there. You guys have been talking to people, or are you guys going to go into the junior college ranks?
We're going to look at all of them. We're in the process of, obviously, you're going to look at the portal, obviously look at some young guys too. And even JUCO, like we're going to look for, to find the best fit no matter where they come from. The thing for us is, you have this transfer culture, the portal culture. For us is finding, giving guys a lot of ownership. So, and showing them the connection and building a culture that's where guys have ownership and investment so we can keep building it. Because at the end of the day, yes, there's going to be movement. There's movement around the country. But if you create a good culture where there's ownership and investment, then you that's still a big fundamental piece of building sustainable success. You got to have continuity. So we're going to reach anywhere, all over and all of those different places and, really beat the bush. But the key is finding people who fit into and believe in what we believe in and believe in the guys that were coming here that are already here so we can just have a together group that we can sit. I mean, the fish is better than open hand.
I know there's over 1,000 and I think we're approaching 1,500 portal entries. When this whole transfer portal thing came to be, did you envision it being this big of a deal to where you guys are primarily going into the portal trying to find players?
Actually, I did. I think this has been a long time coming just because of the way college sports have evolved. I remember when I was a player, there was just the players didn't have a lot of power. And I think it's honestly just been a balancing act right now to where players have gotten more power, more influence. And this is that this is the manifestation of that, like coaches could leave, coaches could transfer, basically transfer and all that stuff. But players didn't have that power. So honestly, since I've been a player, I'm 36, I was playing in the early 2000s, but there wasn't that freedom, So I think that's basically what this is. Now we have to figure out as coaches and as people who run the industry, how we want to, manage that. And is this the right way? And do there need to be adjustments to how things are done? But yes, I could kind of see it coming, if just being honest.
Are you a fan of the portal? Because I know coaches kind of have a different, opinion on it. It kind of varies.
I don't know yet. It's too early. this is the first year. I'm just in it, trying to, get the lay of the land. I do fundamentally believe that, players do deserve some freedom. But I also think that there's going to be some tweaks. There's tweaks to everything to look at. And we have to see how it actually ends up working. So Drew's still out for me.
There you go. And then I actually had another question come in on Twitter. What areas of the country do you feel that you have the strongest connections as far as being out on to the recruiting trail?
I'm kind of unique. I mean, I'm originally from Atlanta. I played at Stanford in Northern California, then went up to Pacific Northwest, built some relationships there, and spent the last 5 years as a coach in the Midwest. So I've developed relationships all over there. For me, it's been, recruited Indiana, recruited Ohio, recruited Illinois the last few years, have some really strong talents down south from playing there. And then also California, Northern California and Washington. So build relationships in other parts of the country. But those few states that I just mentioned are my strongest, I think it's a big piece to be able to build relationships wherever you are and be able to connect with people wherever you are. And I actually told Craig this when we were going through the process, it's easier to sell gold than dirt. So when you're selling a place like Utah and you're a relationship person, you can really get some stuff done.
Well, and that, and, also trying to, climb up the coaching ranks where you're going, smaller schools. And then now you're, making it big time being in Power Six basketball. But, speaking of that, you mentioned you played at Stanford. the Pac-12 has kind of changed a little bit since then. What are your thoughts of the conference as it stands right now, now that you're going to be coaching in it?
Oh, it's been, there's been a lot of change, you know, added two schools since I've played in it. But the recent success, I mean, you can see it. I was excited about getting back out here. I think West Coast basketball is awesome. You know, the Pac-12 was the highest performing conference in the tournament last year, you know, and I think that's just a signs of where things are going. Great basketball culture all over the West. And I think it's going to be a great league, and I'm excited about being in it.
What led you to go from Atlanta to Stanford when you were deciding to play basketball?
I grew up in the Southeast, and I love it. And Atlanta's home. My mom's from Georgia. My dad's from Louisiana, so I'm a Southern boy at heart. But I wanted to see something new. I was from till I was 18. I was in Atlanta, and I love the West Coast. I visited a few other places. I think my last two, I was choosing between Notre Dame and Stanford, and I think Georgia Tech and Florida were two other schools in my top four when I was getting recruited. But it was just, I got off the plane, and just like you got the mountains outside of my office, and now I saw those mountains, and I was just like, this is where I want to be. And Stanford had won back then, and the Pac-12 was a big time conference, and Coach Montgomery was a, you know, historic coach. So just Pac-12 in the West, it just drew me. And it was a similar situation here. Coach Craig called me, and I was like, man, that's really intriguing. There's just something about pulling me back out West.
And, you know, the view probably isn't all that bad either, right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Another question comes in, and all these questions have been really good. I know that there's a lot of players who, and you know, we've already talked about the portal. There have been some players from the Utah program that have entered the portal. How is it as far as the mindset, say that a player goes into the portal but then chooses to come back to Utah, how does that whole process go with you guys as, you know, coaching staff? Say that one of the guys who's in the portal now chose to come back.
No, I get it. There's uncertainty's hard for young people. You know, you get change, you get transition, and these are some massive decisions that you have to make that are going to affect your life. So especially in moments like this where there's transition, where there's so much uncertainty, where there's so many variables that you have to process, we want to give guys respect. You know, obviously we want guys to be invested, and when they're here, fully invested in what we're doing and be a part of it and take ownership. So I think there's a balance between giving guys respect and freedom to make a decision, especially in significant moments like this, when you have a coaching change and you're getting to know new people and you're getting to know us and all that. So I think we want to give respect, but we also, once you're here, you're here. You're here to be invested in what we're doing, invest in your teammates, invested in being a Utah Ute. So that's kind of the approach we've been taking.
I know that you haven't had a chance to work out with players yet, but I know you've been talking to them and all of that stuff. And I've actually asked this of Craig and all the other coaches I've had on this stream. And I'll ask you this: what should Utah fans expect from the running Utes this season?
I think a group that's really going to fight, you know, really going to fight, be tenacious, be really solid defensively, going to play with a lot of freedom offensively. And I think we're going to be a together group, you know, a group that's going to be sharp and disciplined, but we're going to go together and we're going to really fight and compete every day.
You know, something that you mentioned was playing more freely on offense. What are some of the pros and cons of doing that as opposed to a more structured offense?
Well, I think that goes down to your philosophy. I think at its essence, basketball is a free-flowing game. And that's where somebody asked me earlier about the recruiting question, what do you look for? If you don't have guys that can think and make quick decisions and quick processes, you can't play with freedom. You have to control it from the coaches. Like, because you have to have a structured system, because then you'll turn it over, or you won't get you won't be efficient offensively because there'll be too many mistakes. But if you train during practice the guys how to make decisions, how to put them in such scenarios as opposed to rigid structured things, then if you train it, then once it gets to the games, then you're making reactions and the guys' natural talents and can come out. Because at the core of this whole thing is, if you basketball, you don't know where the defense is going to be every time. You can't predict every single scenario. So when you have guys multiple who can think and play and read, then that increases your ceiling, your ability to really score it and become a dynamic offense goes through the roof.
If I were to tell you when you were at Kennesaw State as an assistant coach, getting your career started, in the year 2021, you will be an assistant coach at the University of Utah, what would you say? Would you have ever thought that would have happened?
Yeah, I do. You know, I didn't know. I never put a place on where I wanted to be when it came. It was just the types of people I wanted to work with, the type of university and support that I wanted to be a part of. You know, like my path to Cincinnati, I hadn't been to the Midwest, you know, but it was a similar background to a place like here where you got the really knowledgeable, supportive, engaging fan base that wants excellence. And that's what I want, you know, like the standard and the pressure to succeed and the frustration when it's not there. That's the pressure. Like that pressure that I put on myself is even higher, you know? So being at a place like this where basketball is love, you have this great support is just, that's what I thought I'd be in, you know, the name, no, hadn't thought about it, but the type of environment I wanted to be a part of where you can play for championships. Yeah. I thought I'd be here. You know, that's where I wouldn't accept anything less.
So when did you start getting to know Craig Smith?
So I knew him, got to know him a little bit over the last month and a half or so. And like I said, we had some mutual friends who knew each other, and the basketball community is small. Mm-hmm. So through both of us talking to people and exploring some of those relationships, doing some background checking on each other, it seemed like a natural fit.
It's kind of crazy where, you know, just over the last month, and it's all through like mutual friends, and now you're packing up and moving clear to Salt Lake City from Cincy, right?
Right, right. No, it's been a whirlwind, you know, being, named interim and then getting out here, coming and talking, moving out here, finding a place. My wife's back home, getting our place together in Seoul. We have twins, it'll be four in June, one on the way. So it's just been, a whole whirlwind. You know, I got to go back to Cincinnati at some point to figure everything out there. And then we'll be back here in June for good.
I just got to say, as someone who is also a twin, prayers are with you, man. Prayers are with you because I know how crazy that could be. Just kind of tell all the Ute fans as we wrap up here who you are as a person, you know, just kind of getting to know you as a person. Who is Tim Morris?
Oh, that's a broad question. How much time do you have? I mean, I love
all the time, as long as you have.
No, I love hoops. I love my family. I like golf. I'm curious intellectually. Like, I guess those are general, you know, qualities about me. But I think what drives me at my core is to maximize my abilities, you know, like, and help guys maximize their abilities. That's where it kind of translates to the basketball stuff. Like for me, growing up, my biggest fear was always not maximizing who I am. And I got hurt. I ended up having to retire early because of a hip injury. And for me, I don't want the guys that I coach to have to go through what I went through and not feel like they were their best. So I always use the analogy in recruiting, respect your elders. And for me, that's rooted in the wisdom that people who are older have. If as an older person, you've experienced things that young people haven't. So I don't care how strong you are, how smart you are, how driven you are, how hard you work, you'll go faster and more efficiently to where you want to get to if you have somebody who's been in those shoes before, who's truly invested and fully invested in who you are as a person and where you're going to be as a player, like helping you get there. So for me, that drives me. You know, I'm driven to get in our guys' world, to be empathetic, to help them grow and just in every aspect of their lives. And do the same thing with my kids, you know, like I think everybody understands that as we're parents, but I think, that carries over to this coaching world. Like our family's invested. My wife was a national champion gymnast, so she understands that world too. So, we're invested in this and she's invested in us and we're invested in the Utah program. That's why it's easy to pick up and go. We're here. We're all in. And, that's like I said, I could keep going. You can tell I'm a bit I'm kind of thorough in how I think about things. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about being here, excited about what we can build here.
Final thing, and then I will cut you loose. You mentioned at the top of the stream that there was a little bit of a rocky ending to your time at Cincy. I know that you were going to be interim coach. You interviewed for that job, but I know that it wasn't a typical departure from the head coach. How has that helped you, that whole situation helped you in now to where maybe you might have to run into something like that down the line to be able to handle it?
Well, anytime you have, you know, some tough situations, I think everybody had some type of struggle through COVID, you know, through that year. And there's some variables that go into all of it. So seeing you learn positive lessons, you know, through life, you also can learn some negative lessons that you learn from. So we were together for some years working there and saw a bunch of things and went through a bunch of things we could do better, things we could learn from, things that I learned and saw and tried to help. But I think what it really taught me was at the core, be there for the guys. That was one of the big reasons I was named interim. I think helping them through and being empathetic with whoever you're working with. And I think that ends up helping you be your best self and helping people be great. So for me, I learned a lot through that process. And I think being in that chair for a little bit helped me see the world and see this business and see coaching from a different perspective. You know, you're in it, you're supporting coaches, you're supporting the players, but when you're over it all, you see it a different way, you know? And I think that'll help me to help Coach Smith lead this program.
Is it safe to say that your wife's going to become a fan of the Red Rocks now?
Yeah, we're youths. I mean, you're also she did a lot there, and she's connected to her program. She'll definitely support us too.
All right, Coach. It was great getting to know you initially. Hopefully, we'll be able to do this again prior to the season starting. I really do appreciate you carving out some time for me. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Trevor. Enjoyed it.
All right. And there you go. That is Utah assistant basketball coach Tim Morris here on the KSL Sports front page. It's powered by KSLSports.com.